Do you ever wonder if your prayers are being heard by the Lord? How does that make you feel? Yeah. How can you know that your prayers are being heard? Listen, stick around with us in just a moment. We're going to look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey, folks. Welcome back. We're glad you're joining us tonight for the Wednesday evening Bible study at Central Baptist Church. A moment ago, I asked you if you ever wondered whether or not your prayers are being heard. I believe in 30-some years of ministry that I've heard that from so many folks at times when they sit back and they say, you know what, I pray about this. I pray often about a particular situation, but yet I just wonder if God is hearing my prayer. Because, you know, the Word tells us that that the Lord answers our prayers, but yet sometimes we get a little confused when it doesn't seem like we're seeing answers to those particular prayers. Well, we have a situation like that we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. We're going to begin reading at verse 5 in just a moment. So if you've got your Bible, would love for you to turn there with us. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse 5. It says, there were in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Verse 18, and Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. Verse 22, but when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach from among people. Let's pray together as we begin this evening. Father, as we come to you now, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful, Father, that you do indeed hear our prayers. Lord, we pray that you will help us to have and to grow our faith and trust in you, knowing that you have a plan, you have a purpose, and Lord, you know all of the desires of our heart before we even speak them. Father, help us to trust in that, to trust in you. Father, not to sit back and idly just wander aimlessly through our spiritual life, wondering whether or not you hear our prayers. Father, your word tells us that you indeed do. Help us, Lord, to realize that that our prayers need to be along with the purpose and plan that you have for our life. Help us to be able to have understanding and wisdom in that. Today we ask that you would help us as we gather around your word. Lord, we pray that you would just touch our hearts in a special way. Draw us close to you. And Lord, use this your servant as these moments around your word that you and you alone truly would be lifted up and exalted that you might draw all men unto you. So Lord, again, we ask you bless our time this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, as we look at these particular passages in our story today, here was a priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, and they had been praying to God. Obviously, when we look at the scripture, you can see that one of the things that they had been praying for was for a child. Now, back in that particular day, as well as the days that that we look at even today, particularly back then, if a woman was barren and she was not able to have children, she was looked upon as some sort of a terrible sinner. Obviously, in the minds of the people, there was something that this person had done wrong, and there was a reason why God had closed up the womb. So here you have a man named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Now, I love how it starts off because it dispels the myth that so many people propagated in that day that for a woman to be barren, that she must be some sort of terrible sinner or something. And notice in those verses, particularly as we begin, it's talking about Elizabeth, and it says, essentially, verse 6 says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." So Zacharias and Elizabeth weren't some sort of sinners, even though the people and the culture and the society of that day looked and said, well, you know, something must be wrong with Elizabeth. She must be some sort of sinner because she doesn't have children. The word of God tells us right there that was not the case. Zechariah was one of the priests, Elizabeth his wife. So they had been praying for quite some time that God would bless them with children. Now, it's a different story today as it was back then, but to have a male child, to have somebody to care for the family, somebody to carry that family name was something that was critically important. So, yeah, they didn't have children. They had been praying for that. Now, maybe there's a prayer request or something in your life that you've been praying for a long time. Now, we can get into a completely different message tonight because, you know, there's several things we need to understand. One of the things we need to understand, first of all, is our prayer right? Are we asking the right things? I carry you back to what it was that Jesus taught his disciples when he taught them to pray. It says he taught them to pray saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." The question is, are we asking God for the things that are in line and in keeping with his will? You know, the word tells us that if we're doing those things, then he truly will be faithful and just to answer those prayers. Now, our problem is that we can often be praying in a selfish way. We're praying for things that are for us personally, rather than something that's going to glorify our Father as we go forward. So we always have to understand that you know, are we praying the right kind of prayers? Now, this was not a bad prayer for Zechariah and Elizabeth to be praying, you know. It's an honorable thing. Lord, we're praying that you would bless us, that you would allow us to be called parents. Lord, what a true blessing that is. Because, folks, children truly are a gift from God. If you are a mama, a daddy, if God has blessed you with the opportunity to be called parent, then you are blessed indeed. And if you don't think so, find somebody who would love to have children who cannot. God has blessed you, and he has given you these children to be stewards of. Now, remember, being a steward of something simply means that it doesn't belong to you. Do we really look at the fact that our children are on loan to us, that God has entrusted us to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to follow him, to walk with him, to talk with him, to trust him? Is that our view when we look at our children? So we can see right here that it, particularly with Zechariah and Elizabeth, it wasn't that the cultural the cultural thought of them being sinners was not the reason why they did not have children. And there were some really good things there in verses 5 and 6 that were revealed about him, about them. Remember verse 6 that talks about the fact that says, and they were both righteous before God. Remember in the Old Testament day, when somebody was righteous, you have to remember this was essentially the time when you know, Jesus was still around. It was pre-resurrection. So what happened was you had to understand that before Christ's resurrection, when a person was saved, that's the term that we know it, they were considered to be righteous. So you know, it's pointed out in these particular passages, particularly in verse 6, that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments as an ordinance of the Lord, blameless, meaning that they were walking a good Christian spiritual life. They were walking in accordance to the way that God would have for them to walk in accordance with His Word. Now, all of a sudden, there's an issue that comes up. You know, they were old. I mean, there's no other way to say it. They were old. And they had some difficulties to face together. They had probably gotten to the point in life where, based on what the Scripture tells us, that they had given up on the fact of having children. Now, I don't know that for sure. That's not what the Scripture text tells us. But it says that it was going to be something very, very special if they were able to have children, essentially because of their age. Now notice verse 7 says this. Verse 7 says, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. Yeah, I think that there comes a point in a time where people can give up hope because it is seemingly impossible or improbable for a child to come along as advanced in years as they were considered to be, you know, at that particular point. Now, Zacharias was a priest. So he had a duty. Now, what they would do is, I don't know how, it says they cast lots to determine who would be doing what priestly duty on that particular time. And it says in the word that the lot fell on Zechariah to burn incense at the altar. Now, essentially what that was an opportunity. When you think about what incense is, what was the purpose of that as they burnt those, you know, in the temple, as they burnt those around the altar, as they burned them around the sacrifices? It was designed to be symbolic, that when incense were burned, you know, there would be the smoke, there would be the pleasing aroma, and it would rise up. So it was one of those situations where it was symbolic of the prayers of the people going up into the presence of God Almighty. So that lot, that priestly duty fell upon Zechariah to go in and essentially burn the incense in the presence of the altar on that particular day. I don't believe by any stretch of the imagination that was a coincidence. Folks, God calls us to the altar many, many times. And you're going to hear me say this particularly today and as we go forward. God has called our church to a time of prayer. I'll go ahead and put that plug in it. We have designated the month of April, this month that we're in right now, as a month of prayer and fasting focus. We're inviting you on Thursdays to come to make that special appointment with God. Come to the church at some point between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. or 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Either one of those times to go in and spend good quality time with the Lord. There's something special about being still in His presence. Now, I've said before, I know that you can do that at home. I know you can do that in your prayer closet. But I'm asking you to make a specific appointment on the Thursdays of this month to come by the house, His house, to come by the church, to spend that time with the Lord, to listen to what He has to say. And I will promise you that if you do this with the right heart, with the right thought, you will find yourself in the same position that Zechariah did. You are going to meet God there. I don't believe that there will be any coincidence whatsoever. It's not going to be just some by chance that you're going to bump into God when you're on your knees at the altar of the Lord. It's not a coincidence. God is waiting for you to come to Him. He is waiting to show up in your life. He is waiting to answer those prayers when we have things right in our hearts and when our prayers are right with Him. So as Zechariah went into the temple to do his priestly duty, which was to burn those incense. Let's look at verses 10 through 12. It says, "And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." Now, there's a couple of things I want you to notice in that particular set of verses as we go forward. It actually says in verse 10 that the whole multitude of the people praying outside at the hour of incense. Remember what we've said. We have designated Thursdays of the month of April as the time of prayer and fasting. Folks, when all of God's people come together around the altar in prayer during those times, I can make you a promise that God is going to show up. God is going to speak to our hearts. God is going to show us. He's going to give us direction. So while Zechariah, the priest, went in to do his priestly duty, all the people were outside praying. Man, there's something special about that. Think about what happens when all God's people get together and pray at the same time. So they were outside praying. Zechariah goes in, and as he goes in, it says in verse 11 that there was an angel of the Lord that appeared standing on the right side of the altar. Now, I love how verse 12 reads. It says, "And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." I believe if I was in Zechariah's position, fear would probably overtake me as well. When you see an angel of the Lord standing there, all of a sudden you're wondering, what's going to happen? Something big is going to happen, because something big has already happened. An angel of the Lord has appeared to Zacharias, and now he knows something is going to take place. I'm either going to get a word. I don't know whether it's a good word. I don't know whether it's going to be a bad word, but it says that fear fell on him as he went in to take care of that responsibility. And I think as I think about it, ask yourself this question: how would you have responded if you would have been in Zechariah's situation? Would you have been afraid? We always say one of the things that we look for in our Bible studies are promises that we can claim from His Word. Now look with me at verse 13, because there's a promise there that you and I can claim from God's Word in so many ways. But verse 13 says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John.'" Oh, wow. Now all of a sudden we see something. I love the fact that the angel said what angels have said so many times to people throughout the Word of God and still holds true for you and I today. Don't be afraid. Listen, stop being afraid, folks. Do not let fear drive you. Do not let fear make you cover in a corner somewhere. The angel comes to Zacharias and he gives him the reason why he has shown up. He said, "Listen, I don't want you to be afraid. I've got good news for you." And notice what it says, particularly in verse 13. "Do not be afraid. Your prayer is heard." In other words, this is something that Zacharias and his wife had been praying for quite some time. Your prayer has been heard. Now, how comforting is it when we know that God hears our prayers? Remember the question I asked you as we begin tonight's message? I asked you, if there were times that you thought, or you feel like your prayers that you're praying are being heard. I know that there's times when there is silence and we wonder whether or not God is hearing our prayers. Folks, let me make you this promise, because the Word of God makes us this promise. Your prayers are indeed being heard. We can take comfort. We can take joy in that. Now, it may not be God's timing to answer our prayer, and it may not be God's direction to answer the prayer in the way we think that it should be answered, or in the way that we want. But let me make you this promise: God definitely hears the prayers of His children. So when we look at this, Zacharias has been told, "Listen, don't be afraid. Your prayers have been heard, and they're going to be answered. Your wife is going to bring forth a child." And, wow, what a great promise to claim. I want to, you don't have to go there, but I want to go over to a passage in 1 John chapter 5 for just a moment to share with you. 1 John chapter 5, actually it's verse 14. It says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for of Him. Now, what that means is God is going to answer our prayer. The biggest thing is God is not going to always answer our prayer the way we want Him to. That's where we have so much problem. You know, we get back and we say, well, Lord, this is my situation. This is what's going on. And here's how I want You to answer it. And if we don't say that, there's times we have it in our mind that this is the way we believe that God should deliver us. Now, I've said many, many times, God never promised us that He was going to deliver us from all of our circumstances and situations. There's times that God says, I'm going to walk with you through those circumstances and through those situations. Remember the question at the beginning of the message. Do you feel like God is hearing your prayers? I defer you to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. It says, now this is the confidence. We can have confidence in Him. The verse, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that's our Lord, that if we ask anything according to His will, there's that caveat, according to His will, He hears us. That is 100% confidence. God is hearing the prayers of His children. And what a joy it is to know that as we lift our prayers, as we lift our petitions into the presence of our Heavenly Father. Now, there was some information that the angel gave Zechariah about the son, even told him that he was going to have a son that was going to be born to him. And there's a way, if you look at the scriptures, he makes a comparison to his son. And by the way, the scripture tells us that he was to name his son John. Now, John who? Okay? If you're tracking along with us, that is John the Baptist. That's the one that would come, that would be called the forerunner of Jesus. And he is compared to Elijah in verses 13 through 17. That's the comparison that is made with the Old Testament prophet. We saw how effective Elijah was in his ministry and how he was revered for that. So, man, I'll tell you one thing. Zechariah is getting some really cool information. He walks in that morning to do his priestly duty, to offer the incense. He meets an angel. The angel gives him great news. Hey, listen, your prayers have been heard. You're going to become a daddy. Not only are you going to become a daddy, you're going to have a son. That son, you will call him John, and he will be comparable to the prophet Elijah of the days of old. Man, I'd be getting excited about that. There are so many things for Zechariah to be excited about to hear these particular words. Now, when we talk about the comparison of Elijah or John the Baptist to Elijah, let me share with you Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Again, you don't have to turn there, or excuse me, Matthew chapter 11, verse 7, that says this, and it says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, that would be Zechariah and Elizabeth's son, concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. And that's where we get the passage of John being the forerunner of Jesus. And we see a lot of great and incredible things that the life of this child. At this particular point, the child is just now being announced that he would be coming into the world. But yet it was still in somewhat of an what seemed to be an impossible situation for Zechariah and Elizabeth. That, you know, they're sitting there thinking, wait a minute, we're old. We're essentially beyond childbearing years. How is this something that can happen? Folks, when God is involved, all things are possible. So Zechariah, he hears all this information and he responds to this angel. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 is his response. It says, and Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. Now, we can see how smart Zacharias was, because he called himself an old man, but he didn't say that about his wife. He toned it down a little bit. He said, she's advanced in years. But nonetheless, he was attempting to make a point. Yeah, it was almost like, you could call it questioning, but it was almost like a little bit of an argument. It's kind of like, really? Come on. You're telling me that we're going to have children? It's not in the cards for us. You know, we've been praying about this. It hasn't happened. We have missed our window of opportunity. How many times along the way have we been praying for something and it seems like maybe we have missed our window of opportunity and it has discouraged us enough that we no longer pray for it or about whatever that may be? Folks, I want to encourage you. If it's part of what God has placed on your heart, if it's a burden that God has placed on your heart, do not give up in prayer until you get the answer. Now, keep in mind that the answer to your prayer might not always be yes. The answer to your prayer sometimes is no. Sometimes it is maybe. Sometimes it is wait. There are many ways that God answers us along the way. But I can make you a promise. He is hearing your prayer. Zechariah responded by saying, man, wait a minute. You know, we're old. My wife and I are old. This is not supposed to happen. Well, folks, let me also mention to you that there are consequences when we get outside of God's will. There were consequences for Zechariah's doubt as well. Look with me at verses 19 and 20. Verse 19 and 20 says, and the angel said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Now, I want to pause right there for just a moment because this is important. This is Gabriel saying, you know, God sent me. I'm in the presence of God. God told me to come and tell you this. So I'm coming here to bring you good news, and you're sitting there going, okay, really? Yeah, what is our response to what God is sending us, the messages that God is sending us? And folks, let me promise you that you're praying for and about something. God is sending you His Word. How does He do that? God speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through prayer. God speaks to us through circumstances around us. God speaks to us through His pastors. He speaks to us through wise counsel. The question is, are we listening? In the same manner that Gabriel, the messenger of God, went to Zechariah and explained it to him, what was going to be taking place, gave him the child's name, told him what was going to take place and what was going to happen, and Zechariah had doubt in his heart. Now, folks, there are times that when we pray, we do so with doubt in our heart. You know, there were some consequences that took place for Zechariah's doubt in Gabriel's message. Look with me, if you would, at verse 20. Verse 20 says, but behold, now this is Gabriel again talking to Zechariah. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be faithful in their own time. There was a consequence there. You know, folks, I tell you, God wants us to be able to come with Him knowing that He absolutely can do what it is that we're seeking Him for. And not only that we will. There are times when it seems as an earthly possibility, it's more of an earthly impossibility. We start to look at the factors that are involved with what we are asking God for. Now, that should help us along our way to understand if we're praying the right things before God as well. You know, when we think about it, it's like that a great biblical scholar once said, he says, we got to be praying the right things. He said, I'm reminded of a little boy who went and took a test. And when he came after the test, he came out. It says that he got on his knees and he said, Lord, please, please, please make Charlotte the capital of North Carolina. Well, folks, God's not going to change something like that just because we didn't do our due diligence along the way. But nonetheless, we've got to understand what we are asking God for as we go to Him in prayer. Is it to accomplish His purpose in our lives? Is it to bring honor and glory to Him? And then, when we hear from Him, may it not be done in a way of doubt. Folks will come to me often and they will say, you know, do you have doubts in your heart? If you will remember last week, we talked about the man who prayed and he said, Lord, I believe, forgive my unbelief. Lord, I know you can. The question is, will you? And sometimes Satan wants to pound doubt into our hearts. He wants to distract us from being what God wants us to be. In Zechariah's condition and situation, there was a cost that was paid for that. He essentially was not able to speak. Look with me again, verse 20. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place. So now he can't even, as excited as he's going to be, he can't even share that at that particular point. Imagine what that's like, you know, when you have excitement about something and you can't share it. It's almost like that secret. You know how it is, as old country boy says, I'm so full, I'm getting ready to bust. I've got to tell somebody. Well, Zacharias couldn't because he didn't have the ability to be able to do that. Even though Zacharias' faith was weak, there was a result of God's promise to him. Look with me, if you would, verses 21 through 25. It says, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. They were outside wondering what's taking him so long. Because remember, they were outside praying. And verse 22 says, but when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. And when we think about that, you can get the picture of what was going on. Zacharias came out. People were having an expectation that he had met with the Lord inside, and he had. So when he comes out, they're perceiving that he has had a vision from the Lord. They saw something different about him. They saw the fact that he couldn't talk. He couldn't say, folks, come here, let me tell you what just happened. But he was beckoning to them, but he was still speechless. To them, they were sitting there thinking, well, yeah, he's had a vision. Now imagine being one of the people outside praying and waiting. Zacharias comes out, probably pretty excited, can't speak, can't share. You're sitting there saying, he's had a vision. Okay, Zacharias, tell us what the vision was. Tell us what it was that God told you so we can be excited with you. And yet he can't. He's not even able to speak the good things that are going to be forthcoming so that the people could be excited along with him. Now, you notice what it says down there in verse 24. It says, now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Remember what we said before about how women were viewed that were barren, that were that were unable to have children back in that day of the New Testament, as well as even in the day of the Old Testament. It says that she went away, and notice how that verse ends, verse 25. It says, to take away my reproach among people. This is one of those situations where, you know, she realized that God had smiled upon them. It was a blessing to her. It was a blessing to Zacharias. And of course, we know because of what the Word tells us, who that child was, who he would be, John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of Christ, who would also die a martyr for the cause of our Lord and Savior. What a blessing it must have been for them to not only have the opportunity to be parents, but to be the parents of one of the greatest preachers ever to go and preach repentance to the people, the one who was called the forerunner of Christ. Now, let me ask you something. In your prayer life, why do you think that Satan attacks you with doubt? Why is it that you think that Satan just keeps coming at you with doubts about whether or not God can and whether or not God will answer your prayers? Yeah, he wants to discourage you. He wants you to walk away from what it is that you're asking God for. He doesn't want you to continue to be in the presence of the Lord. I'm reminded of the New Testament passage that talks about the lady who went to the judge. And the way the Word says it, it says that she went to the judge and said, avenge my avenger. And he told her no, he wasn't going to do it. And she kept repeatedly coming back and coming back and coming back until he finally granted her petition, because he said, if I don't give her what she wants, she's going to drive me crazy. Now, folks, I don't think we have the capability to drive God crazy and coming into his presence with our prayers and with our petitions. However, God wants to see us in his presence. I think God would rather us be there too much than not enough. I think God would rather us be there in an overabundance, clinging to him with faith, knowing that he is able to answer our prayers. That's what he wants. That's what God desires from us. And Satan doesn't want to see that happen. So one of his tools that he uses in your life and in my life is he wants to bring doubt in the same way that he did with Zacharias, in the same way that he did with Elizabeth. Now let me ask you this. Did you ever give up on praying for something that you were burdened about? Something that you carried to the Lord, and then you prayed about it for a while, and then finally you gave up on it for whatever reason. Maybe you doubted, maybe you wondered whether or not it was right, but you just completely walked away from it. Now, I said a key word when I asked you that question. I said, did you ever give up on praying for something that you were burdened about? That's the key word, burden. Folks, let me tell you, the Lord will put burdens on our heart, and when God puts a burden on our heart, you cannot help but pray for that. Don't walk away from it. Whatever it is that the Lord has put on your heart that he has burdened you with, maybe it is a lost family member, maybe it is a friend or a coworker or somebody that doesn't know the Lord, and there is a burden upon your heart to see them come to know the Lord. Folks, God doesn't put a burden on your heart for no reason whatsoever. And every great thing that God has ever done has begun with a burden. That's part of what I'm praying that God will bring about for our people of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, that he will bring upon our hearts a burden for lost people, a burden for missions, a burden for one another, because God will do incredible things when the burden is upon our heart, when we realize that burden, and when we run to him in prayer. So remember my question, did you ever give up on praying for something that you are burdened about? Maybe it's time to pick that back up. See if that burden is there. See if that ember will fan back into a flame because God has laid it on your heart. You see, there are some important lessons about prayer and faith that we can learn from this story as we've gone through God's Word today. And there that number one, we don't give up when God has placed a burden upon our heart. We need to continually seek him, and then when he gives us the answer, we need to understand that that regardless of what we may think, God truly is able. If it looks impossible to man, I believe with all my heart that when it looks impossible to man, that's when God wants to do the greatest of things. So what's our challenge? Yeah, we need to pray today and as we go forward for stronger faith in the promises and the faithfulness of God, because he's given them to us. They're right here. He has given us the opportunity to grow our faith through his word, through our relationship, through our walk with him. And we need to pray that God will strengthen that in our hearts and in our lives, and that we might truly be faithful to him. Could you do that with me? Maybe you could add that for your things to do personally as well as corporately. Pray for strong faith and promises. Listen, I'm going to go ahead here and give you our Bible readings for next week before I close us in a word of prayer, let you know a couple things that are going on. But your Bible readings for this week starting today and running through next Wednesday will be Luke chapter 2 through Luke chapter 6. Most of you will recognize Luke chapter 2 as the Christmas story. What a blessed story that is. One of my favorite. But Luke's Gospel chapter 2 through Luke's Gospel chapter 6. Those are your five chapters. You can begin on that today. Next week, we're going to look at Jesus teaching from the boat out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So spend a little extra time of study in that particular passage as we will gather around it next Wednesday for our prayer time. Don't forget about our prayer and fasting focus that I mentioned a little bit earlier for the month of April. Church is open on Thursdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. and from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. for you to be able to come by. Listen, a deacon may be there. They'll hand you some information that you can use in your spiritual walk for the week. And just to let you know, we've been giving you something specific to pray about each week as we head into April the 15th on that Thursday. We're asking you to pray for unity and connection among believers. Big thing, unity and connection among believers. You'll have a guide. That deacon will give you that information. Nobody's gonna bother you. Nobody's gonna mess with you. It's time for you to go in there and spend that personal time, just like Zacharias did, to be able to go in and spend that time with the Lord. So please join us for that Thursday prayer focus. Remembering that it's unity and connection that we're going to be focusing upon this week. Also want to remind folks that we do have our first annual Central Baptist Church Open Golf Tournament. It's going to be on May the 1st. It's going to be held at Forest Oaks Country Club. There's a deadline for team submission. That is April the 24th. It's a four-man captain's choice. There's some information on our Facebook page about that. If you need more information, give us a call at the church or contact us through a site. We'll make sure that you get a form. We'd love to have you with us. Also, as a reminder, we have opened up our outside lawn seating again. It was opened up this past Sunday, so as the weather gets nicer, if you attend worship and you would like to sit outside, bring you a chair. You're more than welcome to do that. We would love to have you. Also, as a reminder, we still have, we're just getting started with the YouTube channel, but it's been a great help. It's designed to play video, so our Sunday morning broadcast is on our YouTube channel as well as our Facebook feed, and we're appreciative of Tim who keeps things on our website. So if you come back, you can look there. You can find video there as well. But at any rate, thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate you. We're praying for you as we start to emerge from the pandemic. We're still praying that God's going to keep people safe, strong, and all about His will. Remember our challenge for this week, praying together, praying today for stronger faith in the promises and the faithfulness of our God. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to you right now, we're so thankful that you don't leave us nor forsake us. Lord, that even as we lift up our prayers, you hear them. Father, even when it seems outside of the capabilities of man, when it seems like they're tough things we're praying for, you are faithful. Help us, Lord, to stay with it, to not give up. Lord, to realize the burdens of our heart, and as we carry them to you, wait for you to do something great and something incredible. Grow and strengthen our faith. Now, Father, we know that as we pray that, the way that happens, just like with anything else, it takes practice. So, Father, you're going to give us some practice in stretching and growing our faith as we come to you and as we ask you. Help us to be prepared for that. But, Lord, help us to face it in your will and your way, that we might grow to a new level in our faith and in our walk with you. Lord, I pray you'll bless each and every person that has heard your word today. Give them an extra special portion of your grace and blessing upon their lives and their families. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We're looking forward to seeing you Sunday.